Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas! But it's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
And the countdown has ended. You have tuned in to the bottom of the dial or the bottom of your internet stream, because that's where we live.
The bottom of something.
You've found Motormouth Radio with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, on this fine, sunny Sunday here on, well, it's sunny here on Long Island. I don't know how it is by you. How's it by you, Chris?
It's always sunny in Long Island, isn't it, Ray?
Well, no, not really, but...
Well, here in the Nutmeg State, it's always about 10 degrees colder than it is by you. So it's because we don't have as much concrete as you guys do. I think you've gotten to the point the island of Long is pretty much completely concreted at this point.
Oh, there's quite a lot of it, yeah.
Which, of course, adds to the temperature range. But, yeah, it's been good. Very excited about this show. I'm very excited about what we do and how we do it every week, each week, at this same time on this fine radio station that we work on. But, yeah, things have been good. Things have been good. I wanted to bring up something. I didn't know if it wanted to take the show and take it and run with it, but I wanted to bring up something
First, tell people how they can get in on the show if they want to get in touch with us. How would they?
That is right. That's a good idea. Might as well do that. You can call us. You can call us. Phone number still is intact and it still works. We tested it. 516-256-9510 is the phone number to get a hold of us here at Motormouth Radio. If you have a question about your car, or like our own illustrious Rob Leonard will always say,
Someone else's
car.
I felt what theme we were in.
I don't know. It just popped in my head.
Yeah, I know.
You can call us.
You'd be so much more off the cuff. You'd just be so much more unrehearsed. We're out of shape, buddy. We're out of shape.
Come on. We rehearsed this before.
I know.
But you can call us, and it's always a good time to call us when we do the show that we like to call Talking to Ourselves.
Yeah.
So you can, now's always a good time. Because we've always found that whenever we have a guest on the show, people will call us and kind of throw, and it's part of the show, they kind of throw us off in a different direction, and we're asking guests about sauce and gravy, which is kind of strange, but makes us unique. But yeah, you can call us. And you also have a whole bunch of social, technological gizmos that you can reach us on, right, Ray Ray?
Yes, that's right. You can find us on all the social networks. Just you can go to our website at motormouthradio.com. And in the upper right corner, there's a link to all of our social sites, which would be the website, and Twitter and Facebook are all Motormouth Radio. And Instagram, the one I like the best, and Joe hates the most because the word is real, _ Motormouth Radio, where you can see an interesting fuzzy friend that I posted just last night.
Did you inherit a chipmunk or something? What did you do?
No, you know, for the first time in 34 years of living in my house, we had a mouse in the house.
Come on.
Yeah. So the mouse, I was able to... get rid of the mouse. We used some humane traps, and we were able to catch him, and I did release him.
Right.
It only took about a day or two, no big deal. But, of course, you know, my friend Honda John, the other morning, he's texting me, and we're texting back and forth, and he said, "Hey, but you have a cat, don't you?" And I smiled because I was sitting at the kitchen table, Chris, and had the paper open, had my coffee, and my cat was laying to my right, sound asleep, and the mouse was on the counter, not 4 feet behind me, chewing on the piece of Stella Dora cookie that I gave it. And I said, "Yeah, I have a cat."
But, you have a cat that doesn't have a job.
I also have an outdoor cat.
I was going to say, you have the internet know-it-all has posted a picture, and I'm waiting for you to get to the punchline and explain this, but go right ahead.
There was a feral cat outside who somebody took and got spayed, and she had kittens, and she's hung around, and this cat lives in the Nomad, in the 55 Nomad. She's, you know, I made a bed in the back with a heated pad for the wintertime. And through the years, I found raccoons in there and other cats. And, you know, and now the other day I saw she was sleeping on a chair on the deck. And I said, that's something's wrong. And I went and looked in the car and said, oh my God, that's where this picture came from. There was this big, really nice looking, like groomed raccoon. The raccoon was very, I mean, there's been some scraggly raccoons in there. This guy looked not, and he looked up at me just like that, because I took the top off the back of the window, and he looked up like, what? And I said, hey, buddy, you got to go. And then he just like put his head back down to go to sleep. And I'm like, no, yo, hey, Bruno, come on, let's go. We got to get out of here. But now, I opened the tailgate. And he climbed down. You can see past him, Chris, there's like open area. That's how they get in and out. The hole in the floor. They just get in and out through there.
Right.
Okay, he's going to leave. So I step back, go against the fence.
Uh-huh.
I'm waiting. I don't see him. And I bend down. I look under the car. And I don't see him. I'm like, where the hell did he go? So I look back in the car. He's not in the back. I look in the front. He's not in the... He went between two of the doors I have in there. He found another spot. I'm like, no! Hey, Jocko, let's go. Like, hey, this is my bed now. Forget about it. I ain't leaving.
Yeah, I think you found a friend in a raccoon.
Well, I was able to take the bedding out, leave the door open, leave the tailgate open, and then in another hour or so, he was gone.
Right, right.
So I took all the bedding, washed it, because it gets real dirty in there, and I redid it. I actually covered the window. So now the cat's back in there. I checked this morning. She's back in there in her heated bed. So that was my friend. It was like I'm living in by you. I feel like I'm in the wild, you know?
And you know what cracks me up is that raccoon's going to be back.
Well, maybe. They say that the mouse will be back too. Even on the traps, they said, once you trap the mouse, they said, drive it 2 miles away from your house and release it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 2 miles away? It's like, geez. Forget about it.
You are much more humane than I am when it comes down to mice, and that's because you only had one. When I had one the first time, and save your cards and letters, everybody. Hold that pen. Hold that. When I had one the first time, I was very humane. On, let's say, when I moved up here, and the house that we're living in now was an infestation of them.
Oh, boy.
That we did not know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I fought all kinds of... Guy from Brooklyn here fought all kinds of natural disasters in this house. Anything that has tried to enter a home from outside has tried to enter this one, and we've successfully extinguished them all.
Right.
So that's what happens. You end up turning into that. You end up turning into that real fast. It's like you get to the point where you want to run up and just step on them when they're there. I mean, seriously. And I'm not, like I said, humane society, cool it.
Right.
Save your cards and letters. But it has turned into that here. Now, mind you, we've prevented the infestation for the last 2 years. But yeah, there have been times we sealed off all the areas where they could get in, you could tell they were trying.
Yeah.
You could tell they were trying.
Sure.
To get back into the trying to dig through the cement that because it would when I realized what was going on around the house, it was like a mouse highway. I saw where they were coming in, I saw they were going out, and it was all hid by plants and shrubs and things like that and siding. Oh yeah, oh ho-ho. So you told me you'd take one humanely. That's nice. Wait, just wait.
You know, I'm also the guy that removes spiders and puts the spiders outside. And you know.
You're
I taught my kids when they were young. You know, my older daughter's out there pounding on ants with her foot. You bang, 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 bang. Meanwhile, she's the biggest animal lover in the world. Yeah, but she was a little kid, and I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! What are you doing?" Well, they're ants. I'm like, whoa. Those ants have a mother. I said, the mother's probably over here waiting for them. And you had to see her face drain. Picture
Wow.
Like, now you can understand. Her face drained and changed, and she was almost going to, like, stop on herself. She felt so bad.
Wow.
Can we revive them? She wanted to do, like, you know, ant CPR. I'm like, all right, listen, let's not get crazy here. Just remember for the next time.
Okay, just a side note to that. I walked up to the back window last year, year before. Back window, it was a sunny day, and I'm looking out at the backyard through the window, and I hear this. I'm like, what's that? I call my wife over. What's that noise? You know what it was? Carpenter ants eating my house.
Wow. Wow. So basically, whatever I get, you get times 1,000.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. If I see an ant within 1,000 yards of my house.
Flamethrower.
Oh, you bet. Oh, you bet. And now, mind you, we have there's a groundhog back there. I swear to you, Ray, we have a bobcat digging holes back there. And now, mind you, stay away from the house. Stay away from the house. You get to live if you stay away from the house. I've had conversations with all of them.
Yeah, I bet you did. But if you want to have a conversation with us, 516-256-9510.
Right, no more Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
No. You know, another thing that – so that post went up last night. There was another one that I did earlier in the week that some people really liked. Our friend Clay Kuhn at Kuhn Trucking, had done a video a while ago on his channel how he took his Snap-on ratchets, and they have the logo engraved in them, and he used a paint pen to highlight that engraved marking.
And it's pretty cool.
So I did it to mine. I said, you know what? I did half of my ratchets in red.
Very nice.
And then I took the ones from the shop. I was going to do those. And I said, hey, you know what? I remember my early original ratchets came with either a red or a black logo on the head. So I did the other half of mine in black. And I said, so now I got some that are red, some that are black. And
wow, I wish I had your time.
Yeah, that was around Thanksgiving where I did that.
Wow.
Instagram will always have, just so you know, if you want to see what we did and posted, at least when I posted, Instagram will always have more pictures available than Twitter will, because Twitter only lets you put like 4.
I am so impressed. I am trying
to put like 10. So
I am trying to figure out how to work on cars as quickly as possible. I'm looking at the fender on the Chrysler and going, I got to get a power antenna in here, and I have to figure out how to do it in like 12 minutes or less.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I got no time.
Right.
And they're painting the logos on the ratchets. Yeah. I admire you.
Well, you know, that was one of those days sitting in the house watching TV with the paint pen sitting, you know, at the card table and just, and then done deal. But another thing, that was pretty cool. People were, you know, some guys were asking me how to do that. They want advice. You know, I'll be glad to help them out. Another thing, you know, no good repair ever goes unreturned in this household.
Okay.
You know very well the history of my tire repair history with my daughter's cars.
She's gone through a couple of sets of tires, hasn't she?
Drive home on blowouts and all sorts of stuff. Well,
you got to admit, she's your kid. She gets the car home.
That's every time. And the younger one did the same thing.
They're your kids. They're not going to be stuck on the side of the road. They'll bring it back in flames.
No, it's that just like I've done with my car burning up. But anyway, so I told it looks like we're gonna have a call, but I'll tell you how this worked out.
All right. Let's go to the phones at 516-256-9510 and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey guys, me Rob. How you doing?
What's up, Rob? How are you, my brother?
Doing good. Well, I'm getting ready for this snowstorm we're supposed to have on Wednesday.
Yes.
After this, have a fairly decent sized storm.
After this balmy 60 degree day we're going to have today. Yeah, it's a good day to pull out the snow blower, I'm sure.
Well, that's exactly what I'm doing. I just got to do an oil change, make sure it runs up, wash it down, wax up the paint. I know that sounds a little bit retarded, but yes, we wax the paint because remember, you know what it is? It's about corrosion control, you know? Mm-hmm. You want to maintain the paint to maintain the frame, you know?
Right.
Paint is there for corrosion control, so you have to make sure that you maintain that as well.
So you wax your snow blower?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Now I'm going to go and wax my outboard engine, too. It's an Evinrude, though. It's not a Johnson.
You're not going to wax your Johnson?
No, I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evinrude. I had to throw that in there, Chris.
Thank you.
You guys have history.
Hey, not a problem. I just, had to make your Sunday, you know? Listen, you're talking about critters in your home. Yeah. So last night, we bring a Christmas tree in, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've never had this situation before. Bring the Christmas tree in, set the thing on the ground, okay? You know, unwrap it and let the thing spread open. And all of a sudden, a spider cricket jumps out of the thing. I'm like, uh-oh, spider cricket. Because those things, once they're in your house, man, they're difficult to get out.
Right.
So I immediately smashed him on the floor. And then I went and I picked up the tree and quickly ushered it right outside, you know?
To give it the tree shake.
That's right. And that's what we did. Took it out to the yard, let it sit overnight, did the tree shake this morning. It all looked good. Right. Passed inspection and brought that baby back in the house. But yeah, you know, you think about it, you're bringing something in from the woods. Sure. Anything could be in there.
Yeah.
You know? And in fact, as we were looking at trees, this one I took a look at, you know, I saw like, you know, straw and things like that on the branches. I said to my wife, I said, hey, look at this. There must have been a bird nest in here. Then I reached a little bit further. There was a full bird nest in there. I was like, all right, well, good thing the resin is not there. Yeah, it was pretty big, too.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, you really have to look at these trees before you bring them in the house, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was
you don't want critters.
No, it's true. It's just like the internet know-it-all has posted pictures of the Rockefeller Center tree had an owl in it. I don't know what kind of owl it was.
Yeah.
That and also, you know, you could have like squirrels and things like that, because remember, they burrow into the tree. Yeah. They nest in the tree, so you could bring one, not like a little Christmas tree, but I'm saying like something big, like a Rockefeller Center tree. You could be bringing a whole family into the city. It's like, hey, man, we were rural, and now we're the city.
So let me ask you, Rob, have you ever found critters in your car, in the garage, or outside? Have you ever had to deal with that?
Yeah, actually, the Model A, when I first bought this house, there was a garage out in the back, which was, you know, kind of dilapidated, but it was a great place to store the Model A, but there was like a million ways into the place. So in the springtime, I went and I pulled the car out and dusted it all off or whatever, and I smelled a little bit something off. I was like, oh, what is that?
You know that
so
smell.
I know that smell. So I pulled the seats, and I didn't find anything dead, but I did find that the stuffing underneath the rumble seat was pulled down, and there were a lot of little poops all around the rumble seat area. So a mouse, you know, or a mice found his way in there.
Sure.
And, you know, had a nice winter's nap, you know,
mm-hmm,
but,
sure.
And then another time we were cleaning out that space, and I go back there and I see a pair of beady little eyes. I was like, what is this? It was a baby raccoon hiding behind some stuff that I had piled in the corner.
Yeah.
So I had to very carefully move things out so that kind of coax them out of the corner.
Sure.
And at the same time, remember, if there's a baby raccoon there, you know, mama's not too far behind and they can get pretty nasty.
Right.
So it worked out well. No mama, and the little guy just kind of, you know, scooted off and whatever.
Right.
But, you know, all of these types of, you know, rodents and animals that you find. I'm in the garage one night under the Model A, working, doing my thing one evening in the summer, and I hear something or somebody come into the garage. I go and I take a look, and I'm nose to nose with a possum. Right? Well, what happens is that, you know, possum, they're in a rodent family, and they don't really have good eyesight,
sure,
just like, you know, mice and rats. So what they do is they follow along, like, building lines, foundations, they follow along hedges and things like that, and fences.
Sure.
So this dopey little guy was, you know, walking along the front of my house, along the garage doors. The garage door was open, and, well, you know, he's following the next nearest thing, which is close to him, which I had, I don't know, a toolbox in there or something like that. So he continued along, making his left turn and right into the garage.
Oh, boy.
I looked at him, he looked at me, and I said, you don't belong here. And he just turned around and waddled off into the night, and that was it. He was done, you know?
That's good.
So he understands English.
Yeah.
That's nice.
You got lucky, yeah.
Well, yeah.
You got very lucky.
Yeah, exactly. He says, English-speaking, possum, you know, but right. Anyway, yeah, so those are my adventures with, you know, with rodents and things like that. Fortunately, I never had anything, like, you know, to speak of in the house,
right,
you know, because, yeah, that could be, like I said, you know, just your typical, you know, insect finds his way in or whatever. But the garage, different story, you know. I'm finding, I find mice, I find, you know, and if I leave the garage open, you know, errant rodent or whatever have you, but this is typical. This is typical.
Yeah, very true.
Anyway. Well, Rob, well, thanks for that. Thanks for the addition. That was
Give
there you go.
Welcome.
You know, yeah. Hey, Ray, you have a tremendous amount of echo in the background, like you're, you know, king of the mountain.
Yeah, I'm in an echo chamber.
In a gymnasium.
Oh, that's what it is. There you go.
I don't know.
I guess your cousin Brucey now.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
I'm coming through the phone. So. Thanks, Rob.
Well, you have a great day, cousins.
Will do. All right.
See you later.
Take care, Robbie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I know that, you know, this topic could go on forever and ever and ever.
Oh, yeah, of course. But, no, that's for sure.
But I want to tell you about this tire.
Tell us about the tire, right?
I got a call the other day, or a text, and my daughter says, hey, you know, she's at her boyfriend's mother's house up on the north side of town and says, you know, I think my tire is a little low. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, yes, because now out of all the years of me being on her about this, at least now she looks at her tires to know that one is low.
Yes.
So I said, you know, how low? Baba sends me a picture. I said, yeah, that looks a little low. She goes, maybe we should put the spare on. I'm like, okay. I said, oh, wait a minute. I said, you know, that truck had four new tires put on it. It ends up that was like 2017. So I didn't realize that. I said, and I knew that last summer I told her, you know, there's a little bit of wear, maybe within the year, you're going to have to do tires again. It's just, so get prepared for, you know, a couple hundred bucks, $400 or $500 mm-hmm. for tires. Right. So now I told her like, oh, the spare. I'm like, you know what? Every time I've adjusted the air in your tires, which is frequently more than I even do my own, in fact, I adjust her spare. I said, so the spare is good to go. I said, but No, I hit myself in the head. I'm like, oh, you idiot. One thing I never did, you know, the spare bolts to the back of the tailgate with three bolts. I've never removed it from the mount. So I said to her, I don't know how tight those nuts are.
Oh.
If they're frozen, seized, corroded, rusted. Right. You know, I said, so. But she says, okay, well, you know, her boyfriend's with her. I said, okay, well, he'll be able to handle that, you know. Then she says, oh, he's just going to call AAA because he doesn't have a car, but he has AAA.
So he has a phone. That's good.
I said, okay, do that and get back to me. So it ends up AAA came, changed the tire. I said, drop the bad one off at the house. Let me look at it. As soon as I saw it, I saw inside wear. And I said, yeah, I think this truck needs an alignment to get in the rear. The right side was out last time. I think the left side now is bad. Okay. And then I remembered, I put it in the garage and I'm rolling the tire around looking for a nail, a screw, you know, typical stuff.
Yeah, typical culprit.
All I found a little dot, maybe 3/16 in diameter, that was like a reddish orange color. And I'm like, what the heck is that? And I picked at it and did nothing. And then I kept coming back to that. So right. I put air in the tire, got my soapy water bottle. And as soon as I hit that, I'm seeing bubbles. I'm like, oh, now I knew what it was. Go back about a year. I had the car in the shop. I was doing I might have done brakes. I was doing an oil change tire rotation. Right. And when the tire was off, I saw, there was a hole. So I plugged it with my stop and go plug kit. And the stop and go works great on round holes, round punctures. This happened to be something that was a little bit more of a slit or a slice, ooh, a little oblong.
Like a tear.
Mm-hmm. So the stop and go fails in that instance. It doesn't. I had other trouble.
So, doesn't do corners.
Mm-hmm. No. After two, and it was right about on the edge of the sidewall. It was in that argumentative area where you could say hell yes or hell no.
Yeah.
We took a shot.
That no man's land of tire wear, yes.
And I'll tell you something. I posted that, and somebody on Twitter actually took me to task on it and said, no, you can't do that. What are you, an idiot? You can't play a tire as trash. You know, blah, 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 whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What I had to do was use the old-fashioned rope-style tire plugs, the goop ones with the
push-in.
And that's what the orangey reddish witness mark was. It was the edge of that rope seal.
Oh, wow. So you've already gone to that. You already tried to patch that once before.
Oh, yeah. That was the exact spot that I had trouble with.
Oh.
So I was like, okay, now I'm adding it up. This tire has more wear on the inside. It's got a leak. It's the same leak I had in the past, but now since the tire is worn more, it's exacerbated it.
Sure.
Like, this tire is really not good. So what I did is I said, let me just get it good enough to be the spare.
Right.
So I put another plug in, the rope plug, and it was leaking. So I put a second one on top of the first one, which actually pushed the first one in. So then I took the second one out, and I gooped it with this epoxy. And I put it in, and I watched it form this big, clear dome of a bubble over it. And I let it sit. I let it sit overnight. And I went out to it yesterday, and I checked it again. And, yeah, it's still leaking. So I said, okay.
This that one tire's toast, young man.
I have done everything in my power. Well,
you've
no,
you've turned the stones. You've turned all the stones.
There's one more thing I could do. I could take this to the shop, break right. the tire off the rim, and put a patch on the inside.
Yes, you can. Do you want to?
I could do that. Actually, to put it on the car as a spare, I think I will. But okay. the more. Actually, what I'm doing is I'm buying her four tires for Christmas. So four new tires. And an alignment, and call it a day, and that's going to be...
That sounds like, yeah, I think you could fix this job with a checkbook, with a credit card, a piece of plastic. Yes, exactly. Some greenbacks.
I'm going to go see the master of disaster, Smokin' Joe himself, and I'm going to cut a deal, because I want his shop to do the alignment, and...
Good.
Whatever, so that's what I'm going to do. So, yeah.
It just cracks me up because there are sometimes I know I will beat a dead horse to death at times. And you have always jumped on me about how I just stop working on it. You've wasted too much time on it. I can't tell you. I have a closet full of all those things, all those times you told me. And this is when I hear you do this, I would have tried once, twice, done. Okay, done. Go get a tire. Done. It's a tire. Go get a tire.
Right. Well, the only thing, like I said, I knew she was going to need tires shortly anyway.
Right.
This one isn't really, I mean, this is only going to be savable as a spare, mm-hmm. so I know that. And I want her to have a spare on the vehicle. I want her to have something up there in case another tire goes bad. So, right. Do I go out and get, buy a used tire? And, I'll just patch it and it'll be good for a spare. And then, like I said, we'll get this job taken care of.
I just think of the fact that if you're going to go get four new tires anyway, find the best one of those four tires. Use that as a spare.
Absolutely. Of course. Done. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. That point, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Right, that's not even a conversation. Just right. Sure, that would be mandatory. But no, I totally agree with you. Pull it down off the rack in the back of the vehicle and make sure that it can be removed. You don't know if it's never been touched before.
I tell you, Chris, I really smacked myself in the head for saying, the 4 years she's owned this vehicle, I never did that. I never even thought to do it. And then I realized, hey, this Toyota that I bought has a tire mounted on the back. Same right. thing. I'm going to go and take that thing off and coat those threads with some Nevisease and make sure I can get it off if I have to.
Exactly. No, very true, because it's out in the weather.
Well, both of these, like hers and my FJ, both have that hard shell cover over the tire.
Right, right. So,
and I did take that off, and there's always a lot of dust and road crap. That's no big deal. But it's better than being exposed.
Yeah, true.
I'll tell you what it's really better than. It's better than the trucks and SUVs that have them mounted under the back of the vehicle.
Yes.
Those take a beating.
Oh, yeah. I've done that on my Pathfinder. I had that 01 Pathfinder, and I can't tell you how many times I would drop the tire and maintain that chain. Because I pulled that chain down one time and literally just dropped the tire. I'm like, what the heck happened to the chain? The chain broke. So I went and had to get another chain and do the whole thing, loop it through that gear affair and then grease it. And I did because of exactly what you said. And it all started, I think, just before I had my tire. I had my... what was that? That
incident?
My tire incident. the infamous when the tire left the Pathfinder incident.
Yeah.
It was just before that I went and maintained all of that. Because it does. It seizes up. You get a ton of road junk in there. And it doesn't take that long. You take the hardware out, go through the motions, drop the tire from under the car, and just get in there and just get some grease in there, some regular old goose grease, hand grease, whatever it is, grease gun stuff. You don't need the greatest. You just need stuff that'll lubricate. And then put the tire back up. No big deal. Takes a little while. A day like today would be perfect.
I'll tell you the truth. I will go out of my way to do a lot of preventive maintenance that other people won't do. And that's one that if I had to do, I would really... it would be on the bottom of my list. Because you're going to lay down, you're going to get under the thing, it's going to come down. Whatever's falling on you is falling on you. Like, man.
Just think of it this way. I'd much rather do it in my driveway than do it on the side of the southern states. So.
You're right. There's no argument. You're absolutely right. And that's why I would ultimately do it. But that's why now I'm going to pay attention to that tire on the back. And I realize, geez, I must have mentally blocked that out.
I believe it.
I ought to do it.
I totally get it.
It held air. It had tread. Good. It's spare. Never even thought. Maybe because usually when I'm doing that, she's coming around saying, "Are you done yet? Are you done yet? I gotta go home." Are you fine? maybe that's the. I don't know.
She actually does. You're servicing her car, and she's asking you to hurry up.
Is it going to be much longer? Like, that's all. Listen.
Oh wow.
You just sit in the waiting room at Mavis and then pay them a lot of money for what I'm doing here. Like, you can do that. I'm like, I'll drive you there right now.
We're going to have like a new segment of the show. It's going to be the wrench drop. Wrench drop at that point. Bing! Wow. I'm out! Wow. I'm out. That's it. The wrench drop at that point. Right. Oh, see, God. In this house, we have no one complains in this house. You know why? Because the second someone complains, then the job becomes theirs.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's it. Automatically turns. If that's the case, if I'm washing a dish and someone says to me, "You're not washing that correctly," guess what? It is now no longer my job. It's now your job.
Yeah.
You think you can do it better, then you do it.
That just kind of happened this week with my wife said something. And I reminded, it was something with the car where I said, all right, if this had to go out to a shop, it would have been X amount for parts, X amount for labor, X amount for waiting, downtime. You know, add that all up. And then she's like, all right.
Like, yeah, exactly. When you get the hand up, you know you're doing well.
the hand had to go up too, because I'll tell you what. There's we're gonna bottom of the hour. We're gonna take our break and we'll play a couple spots, reestablish, and come back. But first, we need when we come back, I want to tell you about the longest loan of an item that I've had in my life. Just finally came to fruition yesterday, and it's a pretty interesting one, but. Do we have the thing we do at the bottom of the hour?
Right. That thing we do. Yes, we
do. The voodoo
do.
That you do so well.
And also, if we have time, I want to ask a car guy question, and I want to talk a little bit about that. But right now, the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, if you got halfway across the parking lot before you came to the realization that you forgot your mask... That's right. Yeah. If you're like me, you park away from the store, the furthest away from the store in the next state. If you're like me, that's what usually happens. Not like Ray, who parks with the old people, the housewives, and the shopping carts in front of the store. No, no, no. If you're like me, you park way away. And once you get to the dead center of the lot, I want to set up a protractor and find out exactly, because it's always the dead center of the lot. When you forgot your mask, your hand sanitizer, your gloves, your bug spray, your respirator, your spacesuit, if you forgot all of those things and you have to go marching back to the car to get them all so you can actually go back to the Walmart and buy your chocolates or your crazy stuff, your hand sanitizer or whatever it is, if you forget your mask halfway across the parking lot, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, and I know that includes all of us here.
Excellent. No, I actually I've been wearing either a flannel or another kind of shirt, and I keep it just tucked in my upper pocket, and I have it all the time. In fact, every time I leave the house, my wife is like, "Dad, you got your mask?" I'm like, right here.
No, I gotta take the steering column with me. Because that's usually where it's hanging.
Oh, geez.
I get in the middle of the parking lot and go, "I wish I had the steering column."
Yeah, right.
That's where it is. It's hanging on the signal light stalk all the time. And mind you, you can't leave your mask in the car in the garage. Don't leave your mask in the car in the garage. There's a safety tip, because if you do that, then you put the mask on after it's been sitting there for a couple of weeks, and now your mask smells like the garage. You can't do that. Don't do that. Take it in the house. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, good advice. That's a good tip. So we will be back with a little more of this stuff after the break. We'll do a couple spots. We'll come back with more Motormouth Radio on 90.3. WHPC, keep it where you got it.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York state law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
It's a call-studded program. We do have another caller on the line. Caller, identify yourself.
Anthony, I called those guys with the cars one time.
Oh, nice, the Motormouth guys.
Oh, yeah, those good old boys.
There you are. Anthony, where are you calling from?
I'm in Freeport. Yeah, this morning I miss it. My boss was, every time I turn it on, he turns it off. I say, whoa. Yo, give him a karate chop.
Give him a five. Love it.
Man, dudes.
It's a pleasure, bro. Take it easy.
That was amazing.
My favorite caller.
Of all time.
Maybe all time. I have heard him with the Motormouth guys. That's why I recognized him a little.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Yes, you're back. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. We're handling business on the break. People are having trouble with the stream. We're trying to diagnose it. It's ponderous at best, Chris, what happens in this age of digital communications. So,
Right, technology to make things easy, right?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out, I hope.
That is true. But I just wanted to just jump in. I want to ask a quick question real fast before we get to your piece. I want to know, what makes a car guy? What makes a car guy, right?
Oh, boy.
And here's the reason why I ask.
And, what makes them what?
Yeah, what I'm actually talking to a neighbor, and we were talking back and forth across the street from each other. We're trying to keep socially distant, and we were talking about how many other people on the block are car guys. And we will get to the end of this when we get to the phone. And the number, 516-256-9510, that's the number to get a hold of us. We're going to say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, guys, it's Jim.
Hey, what's doing?
How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Okay, I just wanted to say I'm enjoying the National Geographic version of Motormouth Radio as we discuss the wildlife found in your typical garage.
No, that would actually be the Marlon Perkins version.
Right, exactly.
Ah, okay. I have a...
Omaha.
All of a sudden the theme music from that is playing in my head. Thanks a lot. I gotta want to ask you guys for a little piece of advice.
Mm-hmm.
In the market for jack stands, and with the recent...
Boy, did we just have a conversation about that this week off air. Oh, boy. If you could have heard it. Go on, Jim. I'm sorry.
I wish I had now.
No,
that's okay. Because me, with...
Go on.
So what... Oh, great. Yeah, well, because with the recent thing with Harbor Freight and, you know, the recall they had, and I'm starting to look around, I'm like, geez, now I don't know where to go and which ones to get. So I was just wondering if you guys had any insight as to where I should be looking.
All right. Stands.
Well, I'll tell you this. Harbor Freight, as we all know, had a recall, and then they had the recall jack stands came out, and they were bad too.
Right. They tend to crack. They were cracking, yeah.
Yeah, I would not. Well, I'll tell you something. You know, I mean, it's no secret what my tool afflictions and affections are. And I do buy stuff in Harbor Freight. One thing I would never buy there would be jack stands. I backed it up. Well, before Harbor Freight. Jim, I recommend, especially knowing the cars that you have a big car, I would get the biggest, best, heaviest rated jack stands from a known manufacturer that you can. It means you're going to spend more money, but you know your life is on the line. So,
right.
That's how I did it. I have 5-ton jack stands. They're rated at 5 tons each.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I put a car on it that weighs maybe 3,500 pounds, so I'm well within the limits. But I feel I've never felt unsafe with those jack stands. They have four wide legs, a ratchet mechanism for the actual the piece that goes under the chassis, and a nice wide foot. You know, so again, it's sometimes when you deal with the smaller cars, it's hard to get them under. It's hard to get the car high enough sometimes for those.
That's a problem I've been having. Yes,
I've never been. I've never felt bad using them. So that's my recommendation, Chris. What do you say?
No, I totally agree. I always say, what's your life worth? I mean, if you're going to get a set of jack stands for $30 and kind of have to worry every time you slide it under the car, I'd much rather get that, like you say, Ray, get that jack stand that may cost a couple $100, because I know that's what the hospital bill is going to be, a couple $100,000 in comparison. So I would shop around for, I mean, don't get me wrong, look for a sale.
Oh, sure.
Never a bad thing.
No,
I totally agree. Do your homework and shop around, find something that works.
Now, the thing is, like, you know, has a sale on now on their jacks, which a lot of guys use those Daytona jacks, and we use them at the shop, and they're not bad. I actually prefer my better jack more, but you know, I don't totally dislike the Harbor Freight jack. But again, you're not getting under the car with the jack. At least you shouldn't be.
Right. No.
Stands, on the other hand, are something that's, you know, a lot more safety. And they that's considered shop equipment, so they don't always put that stuff on sale. You'll find an oil change machine on sale before you'll find. You know, Jim, hit up Brian. You know, hit up Brian, our friend Macro Man Brian. He may be able to get you a deal.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing that, and you know, just you know, a little bit of fear over there because he tends to be on the higher end of stuff. But as you say, it might be better off spending the extra money just for the safety.
Sure.
And especially with my particular application, this is going to be, you know, the car is going to be jacked up long term eventually as I start into a project on the wagon.
Even more reason to do it.
Yeah, you definitely want to be. We just got a link from our web guy. These Hein Werner jack stands, which do look good. They look very good. I lost it. It's from Tool Discounter. So I guess you can go online and look. Then the other thing with this is, you know, these are 3-ton jack stands. They're $69 I guess it's a pair because that's how they're in them. So that's not bad. Something like that, though, they're going to get you, you know, you're going to pay shipping, and they are heavy, you know, because it's a heavy part.
Yeah.
A lot of guys in the shops do this. I've seen it. It's like crossed 2x4s. They make like a tower of these 2x4s, and they put the wheels on those. And you see it on TV on all the fab shops. They're using stuff like that.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that up close and personal at one of the shops out here.
Yeah.
Where they had a couple of cars up on that.
Yeah, there's another option. Yeah, then now the wheels are on the car. You can't take them off, obviously.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
depends what you want to do. Yeah, it all depends what you want to do. So,
thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
All right, take care, guys.
We'll talk soon. Bye-bye. 516-256-9510 is the phone number to get a hold of us right here at Motor Mouth Radio. Yeah, so you were saying, right? Well, I don't know. We were talking.
Yesterday, I went down to Rolling Thunder Cycles in scenic downtown Hempstead. I had to pick up a couple of products after work, and I saw Gerard and I saw our good friend Tom and Steve and Tom said,
Ray.
Yes, he did. And he says, "I have something for you." I came down to remind him that it was the. Anniversary of his buying his Pontiac that he very rarely drives. So I just went down there to kind of twist the knife in him a little bit. But anyway,
how long has he had the Pontiac?
21 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 21 years. So shortly after that, a couple years after that, I had loaned him a factory service manual. It's not for a Le Mans. It was for a Pontiac, though, because he wanted to know specifications or whatever. And like every year or a couple times a year, wherever I go in, hey, Ray, I still got your book. I'm making copies. I'm like, if you're going to copy the whole damn service manual, you know, it's like a phone book. So yesterday, he gave it back to me.
What?
Hey, Tom, it's been 18 years. And I obviously haven't needed it. But I said to him, you know, now you get these things on CD for like 10 bucks.
Yeah, exactly. You could buy the shop manual for 20. I mean, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's what I said. And I know you, like me, do like to flip pages and like to, you know. But agreed. I said, the CD is nice because you can, you know, you can print a page and bring that out, and that's your sacrificial. So anyway, it was the longest loaned piece of equipment that I've ever had out that finally came back to me just yesterday.
Son of a gun. Now you had to make room on the shelf all over again for it.
No, it's sitting over here on top of my radio because I don't have room on the shelf right now. I have to make room.
So I gotta ask you, because this is a question that I need to know. What makes a car guy? And here's the reason why.
All right.
Because, you know, every time I ask this question, the phone rings.
Yes. This is one of your favorites.
Shall we?
Yeah, let's go.
All righty. Back to the phones, back to the fun. Saying hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Liz.
Liz! Our longest listeners that I think we've ever had. Liz, how are you?
I am good. I wanted to let you know that I am still driving my Honda Element, 146,000 miles, no problem.
Wow. Good, good. How many miles are on that Honda now, Liz?
146,000.
That's what you just said. 146,000. Oh, you know what? Not Honda can go more than that. Yeah, that can go a lot more than that.
Yes. And I just, a month ago, the alternator was replaced. But other than that, nothing major. And I really enjoyed my car. So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
We miss you too.
Well, are you going to have a party at Freeport at the garage?
Well, I'll tell you something. That party we had in 2010, that was our anniversary in 2010 at Freeport Auto Wrecking. Jimmy, who owns that yard, he sold the yard. He's out of it. Yeah. Oh. He's not there anymore. So.
Oh, wow.
And you know, another one. It won't be there.
You know, the funny thing, Liz, that was our 10-year anniversary. Do you know that we'll be coming up to our 20th year very soon?
It's true.
It'll probably be, what, I guess?
Well, we're what? You're 17 now, right?
The beginning of 2022 will be our 20th year. We'll start our 20th year.
Great. Where is the party going to happen?
Your backyard.
Yeah, wherever you have space for us.
All right. Okay. No problem.
We'll bring the truck.
Well, I mean, I hope you stay safe with that, you know, stupid pandemic thing. But, you know, I'm very lucky. Very lucky. Okay. I went to France in January, just came back in mid-February, and they closed the airport. So I was just lucky.
Wow, you got back just in time. Wow.
Yes. Okay, wishing you the very best, and keep in touch, okay?
Thank you.
Liz, thank you for calling. It's a pleasure.
Be safe, Liz. Always good to hear from you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
One of our greatest listeners.
Yes.
That is what Liz is listening.
Yeah, you haven't spoke to her in a long time. I know. That's
no.
Good.
No, that's wonderful to hear from her again. 516-256-9510. Just wanted to bring up real fast. I was talking to my neighbor, and we were talking about what constitutes car guy, because he was pointing out people and saying, well, there's a guy up the block, he's got the Audis, he's a car guy, which I understand he is. And then he mentioned a guy up the block, and he says he's a car guy too. And I'm like, wait a minute, he just drives like a Mini Cooper, it's got a red stripe on it. And he's like, no, that constitutes a car guy. And I'm like,
okay.
Does it? It sits in the garage, never see the hood open, never see him do anything to it. It's always clean because it's always in the garage. But I'm like, I'm just thinking to myself, I went, I couldn't argue with him because I'm sure there are probably people in my neighborhood don't think I'm a car guy.
How many Corvettes are sitting in garages not being used? And so listen, I'll tell you something. I came out of Rolling Thunder yesterday and I saw a head next to my car. I'm like, okay, is the guy standing next to my car or what?
Which car were you driving?
My Mazda.
Oh, okay.
So I was going to try and sell it to him. So he was standing next to his car, but his car was lower than mine, so I couldn't see it. He was standing next to a Nissan 240SX.
Yes.
And it was white, and the car was lowered. It had nice BBS wheels on it. And he was standing there on his phone, and his car was making this real nice burbling, grumbling sound at idle. Mm-hmm. And as I got in my car, I just looked over to him, and I had to do it. I said, your car looks and sounds really nice. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, thank you. I said, I rented one of these when they were brand new, when I was in California. And I remember even then saying, boy, this is a cool car. Someday this will be nice to have, even as a, and Matt's going back like 1987 or 8, I think it was.
I was
going
to ask you, because I know there's been different generations of those cars.
So he went on to
tell me. I know which one you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. I said, well, you've obviously done some suspension work and changed the exhaust. I said, the exhaust sounds great. He goes, oh, yeah, well, I changed the engine, too. I'm like, you did? And of course, he put a Skyline engine in it, which is that, I'm like, oh, well, that explains it.
Yes. The holy grail of engines, yes.
So this guy was ruminating over whether to use this fluid coating on the car to help prevent, he's not going to drive it in the snow, but he wants to keep it, from rusting and all. And I say, this guy is a car guy. He didn't look like one. And his car didn't fit the typical version of what we call car guy cars. But I would argue that this guy, sure. So like that Mini Cooper guy may be. The Mini Cooper guy could just be an enthusiast who likes to drive. He's a driver.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So that question, there's many, 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 many subcategories that before that one gets answered. But
no, it's true, and that's the way I was looking at it. I'm thinking, and like you say, in that pinball machine in my head, watching the ball go back and forth, hitting all the targets, I'm saying to myself, there has to be some sort of, what would be the qualification? What would be that judging sheet that you always speak of that will you check off the necessary boxes to make yourself appear car guy-like or not car guy-like or kind of car guy-like?
Well, I'll tell you what I like to do.
What?
I'll take any of the guys who want to come up and get official car guy status with the badge, the car coat seal, and the plaque in the back. Anybody who wants to qualify, I'll take them, and I'll just bring them to the UD.
Wait a minute. You don't want to scar them for life now, do you?
Well, I won't introduce them to the guys. I'll just walk them past them. And it's the sniff test. It's kind of like what the raccoons and the cats do. Like, the cat knew not to go in the car because she smelled that there was a raccoon there. She knew.
And Rob knew not to go into the shed because he smelled the mouse in his car. Exactly. That mouse smell is, that the second you smell it, it's bad news. Yes.
Well, I know with me, and I know you too, I have a very acute sense. All right, maybe the guy looks like, I've even met guys that really work pants, engineer boots, work jacket, a little bit of grease under their nails, maybe. I mean, you could go anywhere with the profile. Just let them open their mouths. So like this guy with the 240SX was dressed very nice, and he, looked like a professional. He was a young guy, but he looked like a mid-level professional. Mm-hmm. But as soon as he opened his mouth, I knew, you're a car guy. You are a car guy. And we could have gotten into the nuts and bolts of how much of a car guy he is, but, didn't have to. So that's, you just have to have a guy talk to you a little bit. I mean, Chris, if a guy walked up to you at the driveway and said, hey, that's a great old big boat you got there, buddy. What is that, a Hudson? You'd be like, all right.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's happened. You know it.
Keep walking, Taco.
Yeah. And that's kind of the interesting thing about owning that car, because unless you read what's on the quarter panel, a lot of people do not know what it is. And a lot of people, they kind of do the step back when they see it. It's that massive. It's like, oh, my God, what is that? Like, they have given you that reaction where someone, I would say, a casual car guy, or even probably not even a casual car guy, would recognize the three letters GTO on the side of your car.
Yeah. So this qualify. Our buddy Billy Velvet, his take is that a car guy is someone who can add to the conversation and make or brand He can add to the conversation on a make or brand that is in front of the group that you're looking at. That's very true. Agreed. Like if you know, like, okay, like I said, look, walk up to your Chrysler. Okay, I may have been fooled to think that car, yeah, it's a 300 because it's badged mm-hmm. that way. You know, so you don't take points off for that because it's, you know, there's already a ruse going on. But, you know, like a Le Mans, it was rebadged in GTO. But a real sure. Cognac guy knows, hey, this is a Le Mans with GTO badging on it. A real Chrysler guy would say, hey, this ain't really a 300, is it? But,
right.
okay, now your cred just went up because now you know that, you know?
Yes.
But for a guy to walk up and say, you know, what is this thing? You know, a Hudson or, you know, a Stanley Stebro or whatever, you know, like, you better keep your mouth shut, buddy.
I had a guy one time when I had that BMW, I had an 80 BMW, and I put in 83 seats, driver seats, and I was able to wire them with, make them electric because the 80 did not have that. And a gentleman, an aficionado, stepped up to the car and saw, and he looked in there and he went, hey, wait, there's power seat switches in this car. How did you do that? And boom, you're a car guy. Exactly. Yeah. Well, you knew.
Or, you know, yeah. again, like I said, different forms. You're a BMW guy. You yeah, know true. The Beamers, you know,
mm-hmm.
which yeah. by default makes you a car guy. So, yeah, again, there's a lot of different checks and balances that go on.
Yeah, it wasn't like the switches were just hanging there off the console. They were married to an original 83 console yeah. that was married to the shift, what would you say, quadrant, the shift bezel.
Yeah, well, he
get the console.
He yeah. knew. See, that's he the knew. Thing. And I will say this. We're going to be wrapping the show in a minute or two, so we're going to end. But my thought on this is, even though you're a car guy and you know stuff that you know that other people may not know, still doesn't make you cool.
Ooh, look at you going out on a limb. All right.
I'll back it up. There's some guys that I would say are bona fide car guys because they play with cars and then they do stuff, but I don't really call them car guys. And I could argue that one.
Yeah, our web know-it-all calls them nerd car guys.
Well, well, listen, and you know, right. by default, we're all, I'll say it of myself. Yeah, I'm a nerd car guy. I have my totally. Own nerd-isms, you know.
Yeah, same here.
And I can back up what I know. Mm-hmm. But there's those guys who know just, like you say, Chris, just enough to be dangerous. A lot of them show over the years. Who you're kind of like, okay, they're going to hang out in the parking lot with you. But, yeah, you know what? You really shouldn't be saying anything in public. I don't want anybody knowing that you know me.
Exactly, it's true. Usually they're younger than the rest of them, but you know what?
Not always.
They try, and that's
all right. So let's all go out this week and try to be better car guys. We'll try to increase our stuff and do that. And Chris, so we're gonna get out of here. What do you always say?
Don't follow us home and take your mask.
Right. So Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. Have a good week. We're out of here. We'll see you next week.
See you. Bye.
90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.